Every action you take as a leader has a ripple effect, starting with your team, going out to the organization, and even out into people's personal lives. Here we offer you the chance to learn from real-life stories of leadership, so you can gain a deeper understanding and level up your own skills. From communication, to culture, to power inequity, to feedback, to resolving conflict, and more. Join us and make sure you're creating the ripples you want. Welcome to Leadership Ripples with Leah Fink.
Hello, and welcome to Leadership Ripples with Leah Fink. Now, today we're going to be talking about how to develop essentially a more emotionally intelligent and self-aware team. And DC writes in with their example. As a leader, I focused a lot on my soft skills, and I see self-reflection as one of the key traits that helped me become a better leader. I also respect that trait in my staff team and believe it benefits employees too. Well, it's just not happening with my current team. I have 5 direct reports, and I don't feel like any of them are particularly self-reflective. If I give them feedback, it feels like it doesn't make a difference, and when I ask them questions, I get basic answers. This didn't happen with my previous teams, so I have a hard time taking full accountability for them not engaging this way. Is there a way to prompt them to be more self-aware? Thank you, DC, for writing in with such an interesting question. Self-reflection is actually one of my favorite traits as well personally, so I can very much empathize with where you're coming from. And I want to first acknowledge that it can be really challenging as a leader with this or with any other situation where you feel things went really well, maybe with one group of people, and that you gained some confidence and that you were skillful in it. And then you have next group of people, maybe a different team or new people come, and something's just not clicking the same way. That can be really hard. It can be a real blow to your self-confidence and what you feel is your capacity to lead. So how could this, that question of how could this have happened when everything was so good before? So DC, first of all, give yourself some grace. And it means that you do have some excellent skills, hopefully that you'll be able to transfer over to this group as well. To your question, let's dive in first into 3 main categories, I would say, that are likely the cause for this showing up. The first one could be is that there could be just a difference in personality between this team and you, where your previous teams, there maybe was more alignment. Some personalities tend to focus more on this internal reflection, and some focus more on this external reflection. And it doesn't mean that one is good or bad. It just means that they might have a different priority than you. Personality types are just a mix-up of a series of core values that come together. And when those core values might be different than yours, it can just be hard to get that full understanding or to really understand someone's perspective of what's happening. And so this first piece could just be there's a difference in these teams that there wasn't with the others. And so there's this disconnect in understanding. The second reason I would see might just be a difference in communication styles. Maybe there's a specific way that you communicate that's not resonating with them, or a specific way that they're communicating back to you that's not resonating. You could actually be thinking the exact same thing and have the same goals, but because of the different ways you communicate, it's just there's something that's lost in translation between you and them. And then finally, the more complicated is there could be some past challenges that they've had with other leaders or with other workplaces that didn't feel as safe that now you have inherited the history of, the emotional baggage of. We've talked before on this show about how everyone, when they're in a position with less power, so for example, an employee in a workspace, they come up with these strategies of how they're going to keep themselves safe, how they're going to get their needs met. And these are all very valid in the moment. They felt they had to do that for some reason. And it can be hard to then look back on those and continually reflect, is this still serving me? Is this still something that I want to do? Do I need to be protected in this new space? They might not have done that reflection yet, but it can also be quite hard to let those strategies go until you have a real felt sense of safety. Because when you don't have that felt sense of psychological safety, emotional safety with your leader, within the workspace, that means you're still operating out of your amygdala, your limbic system, all of those pieces of your brain that are about fear and survival and protection. And it's only when you really feel a sense of calm and safety that you're able to operate from your prefrontal cortex. And that is that nice forward-thinking, higher developed part of your brain that allows you to do things like self-reflection. And this, of course, doesn't mean that you're a big, scary boss that's been trying to make a psychologically unsafe workspace, but it does mean that they could be bringing in things and need certain support to get past that maybe your other staff didn't. And so understanding that there could be some past pieces that are also influencing how they're showing up now. And before we start to look at how we could potentially address those three things and those resources, I'm going to start off with some self-reflection of our own. And it's really a simple two-part question is, how would I define self-reflection? And what actions do I believe show or don't show self-reflective behavior? Because self-reflection is this very nebulous concept to begin with. And when we talk about it for others, their experience, it's got to be almost entirely in the realm of assumptions. Because inherent in this, in the name of it, is this idea that it's something that happens within your own mind. And unless we have really good communication, some really in-depth conversations, how can we really know if someone's reflecting in their own mind or not? So we have to recognize, first of all, there's going to be some inherent assumptions that are made here. And it means that for you, if you're judging someone based on their self-reflection, what you're probably judging are some specific actions that they've taken or behaviors that you're seeing, and you cue those in your mind as being self-reflective, because that's what you experience with self-reflection or how you react to self-reflection. So maybe you see people taking space and quiet to think over things. And to you, that really marks them as a self-reflective person. Maybe you see a certain way that they react when they're given feedback. You mentioned feedback. So maybe you're expecting them to act a certain way when they get that feedback and they didn't. Or maybe if you're thinking about, you know, self-reflection, how good it's been for you, how you saw benefiting past staff, what were some of those specific actions and behaviors that you did or that they did that in your mind are connected to this idea of self-reflection? Because once you have this idea of these actions that you see as self-reflective, let's take a moment to consider what your personal agenda or what stake you have in this. What do you care about in this? So for example, if you said that you anticipated a specific reaction when giving someone feedback that you didn't get, why does that reaction matter to you? Does it convey that they understood the feedback in a certain way or that they're going to take action with it? Does it convey maybe that they care about or don't care about improving? Does it imply something about your own relationship with them? There can be a lot of different ideas about why this is important to us, that they convey that kind of impact or that they convey that information to you after they receive that feedback. Because we have in every interaction, in every situation, we have personal agendas. That's just a statement of fact. We always have an idea of what we want to happen. And the trap that we can fall into is we can get very attached to the strategy we want to use to get there. And we get upset then if our strategy isn't the one we use, if that's not met. We start attaching too much to that idea of strategy. But when we can actually understand the needs and the goals and the values and the fears that are driving our agendas, then we have different ways that we can work to get them met. It's less about the strategy and more about what's behind it. If we look at these potential reasons that this could have been happening and we look at this idea of our own agendas, how do those interact with each other? So if we're talking about a difference in personality, there's a couple different things you can try. If you've done some work with your staff team on either personality typology or understanding individual values, you can try approaching them with that in mind. So now you know your own agenda and this different way to approach them, you might find that you get a different response from them. Or you might find that they're already doing the behavior and just showing you in a different way, right? That they might be already meeting your need or your hope or your agenda, but it looked different. And now with this openness and flexibility around how to get your agenda met, you can see that. And even if they weren't already doing it, maybe now this different way of interacting with them will make them more open or receptive to trying something new because they are starting to feel more understood or like you're meeting them where they're at. And addressing any challenges in communication is going to be along a very similar vein. If you can reflect back to how you've been communicating and what seems to have landed or not landed with your team, you can listen for how they communicate. Maybe there's certain things that they focus on, or specific questions they like to ask, or ways that they convey information. That's a great starting point to start looking at your communication, how it relates to theirs, and that gives you a different stepping stool for how you are going to then communicate in the future. So if they use, for example, a lot of feeling words, use a lot of feeling words. If they like to talk about the big picture, talk about the big picture with them. And again, you keep in mind these different strategies that you have, maybe being a little more flexible with them, so your agenda can be met as you gain this new information, as you communicate better with them. Now, the final concept that I talked about is there safety for your staff team to truly show up in a space that can be self-reflective for them? And this is a bit more complicated than we're able to go into in this episode, because it is essentially asking, how do I create psychological safety in the workplace? It's a big topic. We've talked about it some in previous episodes. I'm sure we will talk about it in future episodes. And so looking at that as a more overarching idea for your staff team would be a really good place to start. That might involve diving some more into opening up feedback channels. It might mean that you're looking and getting some feedback from your staff about what's already been happening, things that they would like to improve. And there's a lot of gentle ways you can start introducing these things to bring that safety, to start to bring in these little pieces of it, so that when you do get to discussions like this, there is more of that sense of emotional and psychological safety to support them. Once you start getting better at this, then people are more open to sharing ideas, and then that moves them away from this space of fear to being more engaged. Finally, with this, I just want to add in my own thought and my own interpretation of self-reflection. There is a belief that I have that it can be really hard to change things from only your own perception. Usually it takes some sort of external force or idea that helps us reflect on ourselves so we can realize maybe something we're doing isn't the best way of doing things. So it could be reading a book, listening to a podcast, connecting with someone, getting feedback. There's a lot of different things that could spark this reaction. And as leaders, I believe we're in this amazing and unique space to not only give some of that feedback, but also to really engage our staff with questions that help them explore some of these ideas for themselves. Maybe your team really just hasn't had a chance to be self-reflective before. That's another possibility. And if they haven't, what an opportunity you have to start asking them questions, not from a place of judgment or anything like that, but they will start turning some cogs, maybe give them this opportunity to try something new, to try something different. So thank you, DC, so much for your question. I'm really looking forward to continuing our conversation, and we could talk about all of these different factors. And as a reminder, if you want to share your story like DC did, you'll find the link for that in the description below. And if you decide to do that, we will be following up with a free session just to make sure that I fully answered your question, and as a thank you for contributing to the show. If you prefer to listen to this in podcast form, that goes out on Friday mornings. You can find the link for that in the description to go listen on your favorite podcast app. And I want to thank you so much for listening, so much for joining me for a little bit of self-reflection today. And as we close, just remember to ask yourself, what kind of ripples am I going to create this week?
We hope you enjoyed the episode. Make sure to subscribe, comment, and connect with Leah at meetleah.ca.